Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 76. Are you alone in the dungeon? Today is Friday, December 12th, 2008.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring. Bullets loading, you're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me. So mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration when human respect is disintegrating. This whole crazy world is just too frustrating, and you tell me. Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. And tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. No, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 76. Are you alone in the dungeon? I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra-Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older, or you're disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Do not be shy. If you need food, give us a call. We'd love to help you. We have lots of food. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to see interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, where you can leave your comments, Flickr, where you can share your photos, the podcast, where you can subscribe, and the store, which will be up soon enough, and you'll be able to shop till you drop, Twitter, where you can follow me and I can follow you, YouTube, where you can share your videos and you can watch Pastor Paul's videos. So we have lots going on, interactive links. Go to www.pastorpaul.org. You can also call our comment line. Our comment line is back. Our number again is 1-715-808-0318. Leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, and especially leave a testimony. Be sure to go to the blog, where you will find links to the scriptures that are in Pastor Paul's message. I've got the links there so you can go right to the scriptures and read them after you are finished listening to Pastor Paul's message. Today's message is so good. You're going to get a lot out of it. The song Eve of Destruction by Barry McGuire was produced in 1965. It's from my Born to be Wild Flower Power CD. 43 years ago, Barry was asking the question, tell me that you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. A lot of questions, a lot of comments by Barry about the time we were living in 43 years ago. Some of you listening may not even be 43 years old. Well, let me tell you, that was a time. One thing Pastor Paul mentions and talks about in his message, Are You Alone in the Dungeon?, is that you are never alone when you have the Lord. In the dungeon or on the eve of destruction, either way, you want to be with the Lord. That's what it's all about. And I hope that's what you come to find out here at this podcast. Be sure to join us next Friday, episode 77, The Way of Your Commission. Thanks for joining me. Have a great week. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled, Are You Alone in the Dungeon? Psalm 102:7 says like this, I watch and I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I remember years ago, I was a little boy, I was out in the farm in South Dakota, and they had these old barns and they had tin roofs on them, and there was a little sparrow sitting up there. And sometime before, there was always two little sparrows up there, and it had the wind that was blowing up against its little feathers and was all alone up in there. And came to me that his wife, I was just a little kid, must have died. And he was all alone upon the housetop. A sparrow alone upon the housetop. Kind of leaves me with something. Alone. And as I minister, and I'm ministering all day long down here, I find that many, many people are all alone. And there's so many of them that are singing, Me and My Shadow. Do you remember that song? Me and my shadow, all alone and feeling blue. Me and my shadow, all alone and feeling blue. And when it's 12 o'clock, I climb the stair. There's no one there, all alone. And there are so many people today that are all alone. Everyone without Jesus, of course, is all alone. That's aloneness at its very peak. And I'm finding, though, that many people with Jesus are all alone. They're like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. A person who loses their mate, like I said, or a person in jail, or a person in a mental ward or a nursing home, all alone. All alone, and they have a family, and they're sitting at a table, but they're all alone. On their jobs and in their jobs, but they're all alone, on and in their jobs. Movie stars, and they're committing suicide all the time. They're all alone. The alcoholic, he's all alone. Now, he can go into a bar or she can go into a bar, but you're still all alone. And it seems like they're all inwardly screaming, I am all alone. Going back into my young years of 13, 14 years old at boys' school, waking up to the sound of someone yelling, I'm all alone, I'm all alone, I'm all alone. And so they tried to quiet him down, and he wouldn't quiet down, so they laid some hose on him. This is years ago, of course. Now they don't do that, but they laid hose on him. I mean, they give him a beating. And he kept on screaming, I'm all alone. And we tried to talk to him and say, you're not all alone. Look at all the people that are here. And we were screaming, you're not all alone. When we got all done and he went to bed, and I was sitting up in the top bunk and I was looking around at all these young people, I said, my God, I am all alone. There's a lot of people here, but I'm all alone. I'm all alone in the crowd. You know, a crowd isn't company. There's a young couple that came in today. They're from Wisconsin, and they needed groceries, and they needed a place to stay, and they had a place out of Chaska. And they said, we've come all the way down here to get some groceries. And when I looked at them, I thought, they're all alone. They all have that same look when they're all alone, in a crowd or wherever they're at, and they're all alone. And so they started to tell a story, and I even think they could hear themselves talking. But yet it was like they couldn't understand what they were saying. You ever been like that? You get all done talking, you hear the mumbling of your voice and everything, and they got all done and they were sort of zombied out, you know. And they said, we have just lost our baby of 2 months. Then I knew that they were all alone, and they had left Wisconsin. They said, we just couldn't bear to be there, so now we're here, and I'm going to get a job, and we're going to start all over again. And I said, you know what you need in your life? You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You're all alone. And they received the Lord, and I says, and you know, honey, I says, you have the joy of the Lord upon you right now. And she almost started to laugh out loud. You know why? Because she wasn't all alone. Someone at that very instant moved in. Into the temple, that temple standing there, and she had the joy of the Lord. She wasn't all alone anymore. And I started to think back on this past here, and as I wrote this up just this evening, I thought, you know, a lot of faces are like a gallery, sort of a horror show of endless chit-chat. When you're all alone, it sounds like chit-chat. People can be talking all around you, and you don't hear them. And when you talk, it's like something coming out of you, but sounds like it's distant. You get all done, you say, was that me that said that? A sort of all aloneness. Alone. And see, the reason why people are in trouble is because they're all alone. Sometimes people love to live this solitary life. They're full of sorrow and they ache with aloneness. I think we have to minister to our radio audiences and to the people all over and to the people in church that there is definitely a separating, and the devil can separate you and make you all alone. Even when you're in church, you're all alone. You go out into a crowded room and you're all alone. And no matter what you do, it seems like you're all alone. He separates you from the flock. You're there, but you're not there. Oh, God. And I find these people are so full of sorrow that they ache. And sorrow, when it takes root, grows, the Bible says. And these vines choke off all conversation. There's a danger point in Christians right now, all over. And they've taken themselves back, and they are all alone, and this all aloneness creeps up and chokes off their conversation, and then they aren't talking anymore. Getting kind of quiet in here. Oh, and that grieving that goes on. because it's a thing that I think is very private. In so much ministry, they say, don't grieve at all. I say, there is a time for it. And I say, there is a time for it to be over and done with. But there is a time for it. There's a time for realistic preaching from the pulpits. There's a time for the preacher to get up and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and to put balance into it. And so I find that the people that are very talkative and clamorous in their sorrows are never really sorrowful at all. Better to pull yourself back and have that sorrowful time, but don't let it bring death in and choke you off. Let it be a time of seeking the Lord. Let it be a time of coming out of your shell and saying, Lord, I'm in a dungeon. Won't you give me grace in the dungeon? Won't you come in right now and give me grace right where I'm at right now? And oh my, the many, many melancholy people that are all over. Melancholy, it's a disease. How all alone they are in their sicknesses. And they are all over. Needs to be ministered about. It is a sickness. It's a melancholy. And only the grace of God will be able to take this melancholy out of you. Are you hearing this? I know there's people all over that have this thing and they're suffering with it. It's time the preacher just single it out right now and put your foot right down on the devil's neck and have at it. But they live in a dungeon. They live in a dungeon, they're bound and they're miserable and they're morose. And every hour seems worse than the one that just went by. And so tonight, let us enter into this message and show people how they can find their way out, how they can find that grace right in the middle of the dungeon. Grace in the dungeon, that's what I'm talking about tonight. I think there's a lot of Christians right now who'll say, I'm caught up in my circumstance. I'm bound and I'm tied hand and foot. Life is so cruel and who can make it? Jeremiah 31 and 12 says like this, and 2 says, and it tells of those who find grace in the dungeon. Are you hearing this tonight? And if you find grace at all, you must find it in the dungeon. That's where you're going to find it. That's where you're going to need it. That's where you're saying to the Lord and you're saying to yourself, I'm in a dungeon. So tonight, maybe while you're listening to me, maybe you're caught up in this. Maybe you're lost. Maybe there's no hope. Maybe you can't get out of the dungeon. Then I say to you tonight, the only thing to do is to get the dungeon out of you. That's where the dungeon is. It's in the inner person, the deepest, the most coldest, the darkest of all, that solitary confinement. Don't pull back. Don't let fear overcome you. Find that grace in the dungeon. That dungeon that's within you, cast it out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and go on and up. Hallelujah. And find grace in the very dungeon that's in the inner part of you. But anyway, the people to whom this passage was addressed did find grace in the dungeon. These people were in exile and they became the instruments of God through a beautiful, I should say, an awful experience of national bondage. But they found grace in the dungeon. Oh, tonight, my God, help me to help people to find their way out of the dungeon. For years, I was a dungeonite. Are you hearing this? And the dungeon was on the inside, locked up, bound up, fearful, all alone, hearing myself talk, but not really being in on it, telling jokes, having a good time, and going home and saying, what did I say? How many are hearing this? Does this sound kind of crazy to you? That's the way it is. Say amen, somebody. Oh, let's try to get to all the losers out there. Try to get them to come up out of that dungeon. Maybe you're sitting here tonight. Maybe you've had some kind of a dungeon experience yourself. You don't have to accept your circumstances as from God. But you can accept them as an opportunity for God to use them to make you creative. You want to get a person creative? Now a person that hasn't had anything to eat for a couple of weeks, they're going to get creative. Say amen, somebody. And I think right now when a person pulls themselves back from fellowship and they get good and hungry for God, that makes them creative. How many are hearing this tonight? You can't pay your rent and all of a sudden they're going to kick you out. You're going to get creative. I think there's got to be a suffering so people get creative. You don't have to create anything when everything is given to you, stuffed in your mouth, your clothes are put on your back, your job is secure. Say amen, somebody. There is a use and a need for the dungeon. God's going to use it. Mark it down right now. In this day and age, God's going to use the dungeon and people are going to get the dungeon out of themselves while they're in the dungeon. Are you hearing this message tonight? But I'm finding as I start to be creative, if I don't have love, it doesn't work. Because without love, I destroy. Without love, I dry up. And I think right now the Church of Jesus Christ is showing off how spiritual they are. Stop performing. Why perform? Why not just tell the truth? Say amen, somebody. My God, that's hard to get up and perform before a whole bunch of folks while they're sitting in a dungeon. First, you got to get them out of the dungeon. They won't enjoy it. Praise God, are you hearing this tonight? And I think there's a lot of preachers that are preaching all these things to the opportunists, and they're an opportunist themselves, and they're preaching to people that have the dungeon on the inner person, and they're bound up. How many are hearing this message tonight? My God, I crave for reality in preaching. I crave for the reality of seeing people taken out of the jailer's doors. Are you hearing it tonight? Oh, God. Stop performing. Stop saying, hey, look at me. Isn't there a song like that? Hey, look me over. Don't I look nice? Oh, I speak in tongues of men and angels. Well, without love, you belong to the gong game gang. Say amen, somebody. It'll gong you right out of existence. Oh, and then you hear it, I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries, and I know all knowledge, and I have all faith as to move a mountain. And the Bible says, so what? Without love, you are zero. You are very much alone. But I give all my possessions to feed the poor. I even give my body to be burned. So what? Without love, you won't profit. Because you, when you don't give out love and you don't walk with love, you walk alone. Say amen, somebody. It's time the Church of Jesus Christ start to preach the love. It's time the Church of Jesus Christ starts to manifest that love. And I tell you, it's hard to manifest it on your own. Man, you just tire yourself out. You think you got some kind of love on your own. You do not have it. And you wear out. You end up being a screaming meanie. Are you hearing it? So let's stop showing each other how spiritual we are. Because your spirituality is Jesus Christ, period. Can you boast of anything? Not one thing. Saving the Lord. I'm finding that people need love. They don't need our puffed up knowledge. So praise God, when you're in the dungeon, that's where you're going to find grace. That's when frustration can become fruitful. How many know? That's where you can get fruitful. You have to start to be creative. Oh, in Colossians 4 and 18, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. What? I, he's saying, have found grace in the dungeon. I have enough to share with all of you. My God, when I first came down here to the north side, I thought this was a dungeon. But I found grace here. I found grace here because it was worked in me. wasn't an easy job. But it was worked in, and now it's working out. But I found grace in the dungeon of the north side. Now, if I lived out there and stayed out there in the suburbs, I'd probably just be an airhead. Is that right? Well, you're saying you were airhead right now. Well, it's all right. At least it's pure. Say amen, somebody. Woo! And Paul says, I have enough to share. Here, have some. And here he is in the dungeon. They said, no, Paul. They said, you need it. What? I'll need it? Keep it? What are you talking about? No, don't you understand? You kept the law, but you're locked up and you're bound. But I found grace in the dungeon. Have some of my grace. You're outwardly free, but you're inwardly bound. Your circumstances have become your dungeon. Now, I don't have any appearances to keep up. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Preacher listening to me on the radio, you got appearances to keep up. You might have folks that at a blink of an eye will leave. Say amen, somebody. You're not free to preach a message. You're bound up. You're free of the dungeon, and you're free of the work, and you're free of all those things, but you're bound. How many are hearing this? And I'm finding if you work out of your circumstances, God will give you grace. You'll grow, it says in the Bible, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved out of your circumstances by grace through faith, and you'll have plenty to share with others. If you don't go through and you don't work up out of your circumstance, you have nothing to share with others. But if you work up out of a circumstance, you have plenty to share with others. Isn't that right? Now we have a circumstance coming up. We have 5,000 bags to fill. Now who do you think is going to fill them bags? Well, you make the phone calls. You make the contacts. God fills the bags. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Will they be filled to overflowing? Oh, by the grace of God, to overflowing. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, isn't that positive preaching? No, it's positive God. Say amen, somebody. Amen. It's starting to come in. Do you see all among us down there? Did you? Did you? That's just a starter. Do you see all them eggs down there? That's a starter. Do you see all of that soybean down there? That's a starter. All the canned goods? That's a starter. All the crackers? That's a starter. And I'm getting quite a bit of things in them bags already, aren't we? And all the pizzas and all the cold meat? That's a starter. All the buns, that's a starter. How's that for starters? My God is able. You come right down here in the dungeon on the north side and set people free. Whew. You're getting so free down here that people want to move into the north side. Praise God. Real estate is going up. It is. So let's go down and get some of that grace. Preacher called me up and he was mad at me. He says, what's the idea of sending food out here? You guys are hard up down there. Well, we're not short on grace, buddy. Why are you
German girl, she's out of air for. I says,
I don't know, must be a need out there. Why don't you check it out?
See, we're saved out of our circumstances by grace through faith. And then we have plenty to share with others. You'll have something to share besides your circumstance.
People don't want to share your circumstance with you. Do they? Isn't your circumstance to someone else boring?
Hey, come on over here. I want you to share my circumstance, my condition. But if you have some grace to share because you've lived through and out of that circumstance, then people are going to crowd around and say, how did it happen?
So many people are running around with their circumstance. Guess what happened? Guess what happened? Just guess!
People don't care. I'll tell you right now, they could care less. They can smile at you, and they could act religious, and they could... But we don't care. We're not made for that. We're made for grace. We need it.
Have you done that this week? Listen so attentively to someone?
Really? Oh, that's awful. Really?
You're not hearing them.
Not until you go through something. Can you understand what other people are going through? Until you can sympathize a little bit with them.
It won't be their God. You try to be somebody's God this week? Don't do it. They'll tire you out. They'll be calling you up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Hey, God! Know what you're going to tell them? Get back in the dungeon! Get out of my face! Let's be realistic about this, should we? Now, we live out of these circumstances by the grace of God, and then we have something to share, and what we have to share is that our God is able. You say, hey, God is able. Here's what he's done for me, and what he's done for me, and what he's done for others, he'll do for me, and he'll do for you too. Say amen. But it seems like after we come out of something, we have a formula. Well, I went through it, so I have the formula. That's what psychos do, don't they? The psychiatrists? They're psychos. They sell their knowledge. Which is absolutely worthless. Woo. All you can tell somebody is how God delivered you. No, I don't know. I was in the dungeon, and God came in there, and he delivered me. How'd he do it? Well, he did it this way, but I don't know if he'll deliver you that way. I don't know your circumstances. Well, let me tell you about him. No, I don't want to hear him. I'll pray with you, but I don't want to hear about your circumstance. I don't want to hear, and I don't want you to paint pictures of your lust and your greed and all that. Who needs that? But I want to pray with you. I want to point you to the one, if you'll start singing at the midnight hour, he'll shake them prison doors and open them up. And someone will get saved in the course of the action. Say amen, somebody. You got to start pointing people to Jesus instead of pointing them to ourselves. Hey, look me over, huh? Oh, the Lord craves fellowship. Here we are in Philippians 1, starting in verse 14. And most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment,
Are you hearing this? Have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of the selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in the pretense or in the truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Here he is. He's locked up. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm in the dungeon, but the dungeon isn't in me. Are you hearing this tonight? For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance. Wow. Now let's have no interruptions, no in and out here, okay? For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance. Ooh. Now we're talking faith. Now we're talking about an expectant person expecting the grace of God to come in the dungeon. Hallelujah. Christ is proclaimed. And in this, yes, I rejoice and I will rejoice. No, he says, I will. He has to say it twice. They don't believe him. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation of hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall, even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Are you hearing this tonight? Woo! Now there's a person that's sold out. Live or die. I'm going to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on in. I have a whole lot of grace I can share with you. You know, these dungeon experiences I'm talking about tonight, they can either make or break us. It crushes some people, but it solidifies others. It's either growing pains or it's growing conflicts. I know sometimes when people get into trouble, their conflicts grow. They haven't learned to call upon the grace of God, and so they're skidding around. They skitter all over to all these other prisons. Where's another prison? Anything outside of seeking Jesus Christ for yourself is another prison. It's all right to have somebody pray with you, but don't skirt around all over looking for the answer through people or even the reading of many books. They do not have the answer because you're all alone. Come right down to it. You're all alone. You're breathing all alone. You're not dependent upon her. You're watching and you're hearing this message. You're not dependent upon her. And vice versa. You're all alone. And there's only one that can share your grief and your sorrow and your joy and everything. And that's Jesus. How many are hearing this? And so, to go from one dungeon to the next, let's try out this church. Church dungeon number 17, and you go over there. And you sit in this dungeon. And you know what? You find out you're just all alone there as you were the other place. Well, there's another group over there. Let's try dungeon number 18. And you go in there, and you smile to all the people, and you're still all alone. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're here and you're with us, but you're still all alone. And God is going to deal with you all alone. And he's going to deal with you all alone. And he's going to deal with me all alone. And so we can go through the actions and we can run from one dungeon to the next dungeon and one counselor to the next counselor, but it comes right down to it. No one can talk you out of your miserable existence. And you know why? You're all alone. And so you can talk until your lips literally fall right off of your face. Sometimes I wish they would. And you cannot talk your way out of the dungeon. You got to praise the Lord at the midnight hour in that dungeon. Right in the middle of that circumstance. And that's where you're going to meet God, right in that dungeon. Lord, I praise you. Glory to God, I praise you. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I praise you. And someone comes up. Well, you see, if you had faith, you wouldn't even be in that dungeon. You know who's in more in the dungeon than you are? He is. There's faith dungeons. Did you know that? There's other gospel preaching, another gospel preaching that doesn't lead people to Jesus. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Your freedom is in the Lord. I'm talking about that message all along. I learned way back there sitting on top of that bunk in the boys' school. I'm all alone. I'm all alone. I said, dummy, you know, alone, we're all in here. When I got all done, I says, you know what? I'm sitting up here, but I'm all alone. And I stayed that way until the day I got saved. And I had kids, and I had a wife, and I had a job, and I had cars, and I had this, and I had that. But I was all alone. And I'd run into all these crowds. Huh? And go out and boogaloo. But I was all alone. I was just another body coming in, another personality coming in. Hi, hi, and a bunch of puppets running around. They were all alone. They didn't have it together. Is that right? Am I getting through here? I know I'm getting through here. And people say, I'm tired of living alone. I want to get married. Oh. Then they get a divorce because she didn't understand me. I'm still alone. How many are hearing this? One thing worse than a dungeon is two dungeons. And then worse than that is having a whole bunch of dungeon kids. Conflicts. God, conflicts. There's two kinds of them. One where you come up on the low side, the sewer level, or one where you're coming on the top side, and that's the victory side. Are you hearing this tonight? It was said of Jesus that he went into the wilderness full of the Spirit. But then it goes on and it says, and he came out in the power of the Spirit. You got to go into the dungeon full of the Spirit. You come out with the power of the Spirit. In his weakness, God's strength was made perfect. How many are hearing this message? My God, hear it. Say amen, somebody. Fullness turned to power. Be ye filled with the Spirit and under the stress of temptation. He got strong. Oh, the devil hates that. When he tempts you and in that temptation you become strong. You know how you become strong? When you're all alone with God. The dungeon of temptation is surrounding you. You're tempted on all sides. And all sides are closing in, and the top is closing over, and the bottom is closing over, and you're locked in with this temptation. How many know when you have a temptation, you get locked in on it? Huh? You lock in on a temptation. You do. It locks you up. That's the time to call upon the name of the Lord when you're in trouble. That's when you'll get the grace to overcome. In that dungeon experience. So many people, when they have the temptation, they don't seek God. They'll go to someone and say, I'm tempted! I'm so tempted! I'm so tempted! And the person that they're telling this gets tempted with the same thing they're tempted with. How many are hearing this? So they both go into the dungeon. And And so they go seek counsel with someone else. And pretty soon you have a whole church that's a dungeon. Ministries that do not point people to the Lord Jesus Christ are dungeon ministries. Oh, God. They're full, too. People love to be in the dungeon, evidently. They're full to overflowing. And the people are sitting there. And they're all sitting there. And they're all alone in themselves and with their temptations and everything. And they're just sitting there in a dungeon. One time when I was in jail, you know, don't worry about what kind of a guy I was this past, I'm just using it as an example. And one time I was in jail and I was yelling and it sounded like I was in a milk bottle, you know what I mean? And the thought came to me, I said, you know, this sounds real funny in here, it sounds like a sort of an echo, but I thought, the other night when I was talking, it sounded like it was echoing back in my ears, I wasn't in here. The prison really isn't here, but it was outside. I mean, I'm in a prison no matter where I go. I'm all alone. I'm like that bird sitting on a roof. How many understand what I'm saying here tonight? Oh, are you hearing this? Fullness turned to power under the stress of temptation, and the dungeon of temptation can become the door to power. All when you overcome through Jesus Christ, you gain power. How many were tempted this week? Oh, but you shouldn't put your hands up, preacher, because that'll make people think they can just go out and be tempted. They haven't got nothing to do with it. Lord, lead us not into temptation. God doesn't tempt you, but you can be led in so that you can become more than an overcomer through Christ who strengthens you. Who allowed Jesus to go into the wilderness? The dungeon, that's a dungeon. Huh? He went in full of the Holy Spirit and came out in the power of the Holy Ghost. How do you get that power? By overcoming. Oh, God, we want power, don't we? Oh, Jesus, help us. Devil, you're playing a losing game. When you succeed only in strengthening us through temptations. When the devil says give up, go on. That's the devil speaking. Give up. Give up. You aren't going to make it. You're making a fool out of yourself. That's when you got to know the scriptures, because it says be a fool for Christ's sake. You're making a fool out of yourself. No one's listening. You know, and just forget it. Bug out. That's the time to go on. That's the time to recognize the voice of the devil. When he says that, say, shut up and go on! Whispers in your ear. Bags ain't going to get full. People are going to be standing out there 5,000. You're going to make a fool out of yourself. And then you get up and preach how all them bags is going to be full. What if they aren't full? Recognize that voice and go on. Now look at all the trouble you had this week. Vehicles breaking down. Huh? You think God's with you? You need money, don't you? Vehicles breaking down, the insurances do. And who cares? They don't care. People
people don't care. They put more in a collection plate if they cared. And look how they talk about each other all the time. Oh.
That's the time to say, shut up, I'm going on. I got the victory. When the devil says you're defeated, say, hey, shout the victory. Victory in the dungeon. Victory with a sword sticking through my side and an arrow through my head. Were you ready to howl and jowl because you fell this week in some way or another? That's the time to shout the victory. I think we ought to have cheerleaders come in here and shout it out. V-I-C-T-R-O-Y. Or O-R-Y. Thank you, Lord. I need a little help there. How many are hearing this? Now I got your attention. Oh, God. There's a song, isn't it? They spell out divorce on that thing. They spell it out. Waiting for me to spell it? D-I-V. O-R-C-E, I think. I don't know. I never really checked it out. And they sing it. But let's just think about what you've been tempted by this week. Have you been tempted to blab? Have you been tempted to say, shut up? Huh? You're in a dungeon right there. Recognize that right now. You're in a dungeon. You're rattling your cup across the bar. Huh? You've been keeping track of all the days that you helped God out. You mark them on the prison wall and... Been in this dungeon, I'm sick of this dungeon. The dungeon's in you, friend. Ooh, I hope there's not too many people that come in today. I want to go home. And you go home, you take your mobile dungeon with you. Huh? And who meets you at the door? Mrs. Dungeon. Give your body to God, please. As a living sacrifice. Well, almost anyway. Are you hearing this? Some people give their dead bodies to God. God wants live bodies. Live bodies that can live out of a circumstance, not a body that's living the circumstance and take their dungeon to God. And go, oh, God, huh? Have you been tempted to gossip? Well, you're not tempted, you gossip. Did you gossip this week? Ooh, tell the devil, I'm going to fall in for inspection. Tetchup! Dungeon detail, hop! I feel like saying some days when I'm down here. Pull in that face. Lift up them arms. Become a ram instead of a jam. Knock down the cell doors of defeat and flee forward. Ho!
Oh, God, I'm so tired. So tired, huh?
It's because you're living in a dungeon. Are you hearing this? You live in a dungeon, you get tired. Why? Because you're carrying the dungeon with you. That's a lot of weight, all that cement and bars and junk. You carry it with you. You pick it up and carry your dungeon with you. With all the little markings on there about what you did for God. So everybody can see it. Huh? Then you're actually mad at God. You're in a dungeon, but you don't call God in. God will come into the dungeon. God will come into that circumstance, and God will set you free. And he'll shake open the prison doors, but you'll be so happy you'll stay right in there and you'll minister to the jailer. How many are hearing this tonight? My God, let's get it straight. You're mobile dungeons walking around. Then you sit it down, and then there's a whole group of dungeons all around. In their own private, all alone dungeon. You can't get in at each other. You're in your own little crazy little dungeon. Well, you say, it seems to me you know a lot about dungeons. Man, I've been in a lot of them. The Bible says, and Jesus told him, "Begone, Satan, it is written, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." And at this, the devil left him. And that's Matthew 4, 10 and 11. When Jesus used the word alone, then the devil left him. The devil could not stand that word alone. He couldn't stand that word alone. And when he heard Jesus say it, it says he turned and he left, because he knew that to tempt a man who stands on the word alone and a man that's single-minded is dangerous for the devil. I'm in a dungeon. What'll I ever do? What'll I ever do? Stand on the word alone. And the devil will flee. You see, a single-minded man can only get stronger and stronger as he stands on the word alone. Every temptation strengthens every fiber of such a man. And that, I'll tell you right now, you'll find more and more grace in the dungeon of temptation. Always. Have you been ill lately, any of you? How many had an illness this week? Some kind of, oh, don't be afraid of a negative confession. You were ill this week, some kind of little sniffle or cold or flu. How many disliked it? Well, then make your illness give you something. First the suffering, then the joy. Were you ill? Were you ill in your mind this week? Felt like there was a band around your mind and there's a screw on the side, one of them big wing nuts, and you just... And you're sitting there all bound up in your mind. Make it turn to good. Make it turn to good. All things are working together for good, for God, for them that are called according to his purpose. But you don't know my dungeon. No, that's your own personal dungeon. You've got to call God into your personal dungeon. I can't get in there with you. I got my own to praise God in. Oh, that's so unpositive. Dungeons will be and there will be always. They're made so you can praise God, so he can open up them different circumstances and let you out. Said it, and I'm glad. It's the way it is. I'm going to hear in this message. Woo! Have you been impatient this week? Did you ever try to act like you were patient when you were losing it? Huh? Directions. You take 55, take a right, come down one block, take another right, use the back side door. Say that again! You take 55, huh? Did you lose it? Did you? Was there a whole lot of folks standing around watching? You're inside this dungeon, see, and all these people are peeking in on you. Wonder what's going on in there. Sure sounds like a big commotion going on. See the way she hung up that phone? Bam! Find your own way! Oh, I never did that. But you felt like doing it. Really? Have you ever been in your shop, Lisha, and you've been in a dungeon? It's your shop. It'd be as free, as nice. But certain days you're in a dungeon? Well, you are. And then they're there. They're prepared. But you start praising the Lord, and maybe someone come in the place, and you just said, ooh. A page bender. Someone that comes in just bends the pages. So you got to mark all your books down 50% because they're used. But you have to praise the Lord and get out of that dungeon then, don't you? It's an experience though, isn't it? It's a circumstance that you're in. God, I wish I never would have got into it. Do you have those days? Right? We were all out in California and we thought, wow, wouldn't it just be great if we could just stay here? Just one more day, God. But you know what? As soon as I started confessing like that, the dungeon took over. I'm sure glad to be back in this dungeon. I'm used to it. And it keeps me praising the Lord. I'm familiar. I know how to get out of this one. By praising the Lord. Ooh, you understand what I'm saying here tonight? I want to get your attention. My God, I want to get your attention so bad. You're in the dungeon, see? And you're sitting here all by yourself, and you're smiling, and you're talking, and yes, yes, and you're trying to be patient, you're trying to be this, you're trying to be... Don't do it. Just admit you're in the dungeon and start praising. Oh, God, I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, praise you, praise you. And then start singing at the midnight hour, like Paul did when he was in jail. Remember that? They're going to sing at the midnight hour. There's a song like that, you know. They started singing and praising the Lord. And you know what happened? A grace quake. Huh? Now the whole jail starts, whoa! Whoa! Whoa, the place is jumping! Woo! Woo! And they kept right on singing and praising the Lord. And it says that they were in the inner prison. And I started to wonder about that, and I thought, well, the inner prison is the inner person. And that's the part that's really locked up, the very deepest, deepest part of the jail in those days, and they had a very deep solitary confinement, if you will. And they started to praise God at the midnight hour, and all the prisoners heard them also, it says. And then a grace quake happened. And then they just went crazy because they knew God had cut loose in the dungeon. Woo! They started singing. We're going to sing at the midnight hour. And the whole place was just jumping around. Wow! Woo-hoo! Huh? Should we do that when we get into a dungeon situation in the mission? Huh? A dungeon. Just think how that would be. Someone's down there. Hey, I don't like the way you made these mashed potatoes. My grandma makes them better than you do. Huh? I don't get all upset. Start praising God. Praise the Lord for grandma. Praise him. Understand what I'm saying? You got to fight this thing. You got to start. The way to fight it is praising the Lord. Oh, nobody likes me. Why can't I talk? Why can't I talk to people? Why can't the words come out? Why can't I communicate? Huh? Because you've allowed them vines to come up and choke off the life. And so then you go back into reclusing. And you become weird. Are you hearing this? I hope I'm getting through. How many are hearing this? You start to praise the Lord when you feel your meanest, when you feel like, you know, huh? You start to praise the Lord. Oh, God, help me to get this message across. Philippians 1 and 28 and 29. And in no way alarmed by you. It says, and in no way alarmed by your opponents. When your opponents come in and say, I'm not alarmed by you. Excuse me. Praise the Lord! Which is a sign of destruction for them. When you don't get alarmed. Oh, I forget once in a while. But I remember. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. If you believe in God, that's not enough. You must also suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Ooh. I like that one about don't let people alarm you. When people can't alarm you, they get freaked out. Here we go. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is there to fear? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. How many here? Isn't that a good word? Nothing. You hearing it? Oh, listen to this. And this would be 1 Peter 2:20 through 24. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. You're going to have to learn how to praise the Lord in the dungeon and learn to call on the grace of God in the dungeon. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Wow. And he himself also bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you will be healed. You are going to suffer the same sufferings of Jesus Christ, but you have to learn to call upon the grace of God in those things. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of people sitting around with a dungeon right on the inside of their very own person. All alone. You know what I found out since I've been down here? That I'm free through my own limitations. All our limitations, dungeons, can be places where we can find grace. I have limitations. How many in here have limitations? Oh, you have limitations, don't you? A little bug can march up to you. You're going down. You have limitations. But do you know that you can find grace in those limitations? How many know you can find them? Oh, there's so many people don't like a message like this. Some of them are listening to the radio right now. Too negative for them. How many have been in a dungeon this week? I think we ought to die learning. Be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all. Paul died learning. He says, Timothy, bring my books, come before winter. I think we're going to have to learn how to die learning. I die daily. When you die, don't you learn something? How many had a death this week? Got a death. You took flowers and put them on your casket. And you walked around in your little dungeon. Nothing will make me happy. I'm dead. No. You got all melancholy and you sat down. And you come over to Pastor Paul and he said, praise God, you're dying. Drop dead quickly. Raise up new in something. Come on, get some life. Start praising God in this dungeon. How many hearing this? Stop trying to be a spiritual giant. Huh? So many of us try to be spiritual giants. Huh? We want to perform. You ever see somebody who wants to perform? Huh? Oh, I'll never forget. I was out here and there was a person that needed help. And this person discerned something was wrong. Well, it wasn't hard to discern. The person was bawling their eyes out in the mall.
come over and laid, I mean, didn't touch them, laid their hand on them. You know? And start praying over the person. Performing. Let's stop performing and let's start to praise God. We're all in dungeons. The minute that we don't praise God, we're in a dungeon. And you can't get out until you praise the Lord. That's the key. Praising the Lord. Not a someone to psychoanalyze you. You see, when you were in your mother's womb, huh? Garbage. You see, when you were a small child, this happened and that happened, and so that's why you're this way. No, you're that way because you were all born into sin. And there's only one way out of it. Receive Jesus Christ in the dungeon, get saved in the dungeon, get grace in the dungeon, and praise the Lord every time you feel yourself getting into another dungeon and praise your way right out of it. And recognize that you die daily. I'm going to read one more piece of scripture, but are you understanding what I'm saying here tonight? Huh? I hope it doesn't sound too crazy. Huh? That's what we are. We're all crazy. You know that, don't you? The minute we get 1 degree off of Jesus Christ, we are nuts. Okay, hold on now. Let me read something here. This is 2 Corinthians. We're going to start in chapter 12 here, verse 7. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord 3 times that he might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He surrendered. God, I surrendered tonight. Best I know how. God, I surrendered tonight. Best I know how. Lord, I was irritated this week. And the Lord spoke to me and says, let your irritations make your character. How many were irritated with their marriage this week? Huh? Thanks, Jen. It's the truth. Are you irritated by people? How many were irritated by people this week? Oh, my God. Are you living in a dungeon? Let grace come on in and reveal your shortcomings. Try to come to an agreement, and if you can't, do what the oyster does and put a film around that piece of sand. Make a pearl out of that circumstance. Make a pearl out of that husband. Make a pearl out of that wife. Throw a pearl around your everyday irritation. I was so touched today. I was in the car and I was praying in the Spirit and this came to me. And this is Psalm 22, verses 1 through 5. And this, of course, is prophecy in the Psalms. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
And I sought the Lord. I said, I would really like to know the answer to that. Why? Jesus suffered everything. And the Lord spoke to me, and I felt the Spirit coming all over my whole body. Jesus suffered on all points. And he had one left, to be separated from God. Like you were separated from God through sin. He suffered the separation for you. He knows how it is to be separated. What a terrible thing to be separated from God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet thou art holy, O thou art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In thee our fathers trusted. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. To thee they cried out and were delivered. In thee they trusted and were not disappointed. And he goes on, but I am a worm, not a man. A reproach of men and despised by people. Oh, prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. All who see me sneer at me. You ever seen somebody when they sneer at you? Morning. You ever see a sneerer? Oh, aren't they vile? You ever been a sneerer? How's it going? Huh? They sneer at me. You ever had people sneer at you? And you haven't done nothing wrong? Well, at least so they should sneer at you anyway. Huh? God suffered that for us. Listen now. But I am as a worm, not a man, a reproach of men, and despised by people. All who see me sneer at me, and they separate with the lip, and they wag the head, saying, ever been around a head wagger? Tisk, tisk. Commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. Yet thou art he who didst bring me forth from the womb. Thou didst make me trust when upon my mother's breast, upon thee I was cast from birth. Thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. You heard this message tonight, I hope. Tonight I want to leave you with a couple of things here. You ready for a couple of things? Make calamity serve you. Troubled times bring out great movements. In other words, you get movement when calamity comes into your life. Step out of the dungeon. A lot of people swing on the door. Form that pearl of great price around that circumstance. Our world right now has run out. It's run out of gas and air and water, patience and love and care. We've got to come into a brand new thing, the Sermon on the Mount. In order to make that transition, a Passover, if you will, we must go through these five stages. It'll take me exactly 3 minutes to finish this message. Crisis, ordeal, Carthasis, charisma, and resurrection. Number one, crisis. The old order that you're looking at right now is going down and going under. It's going to pieces and nothing's going to save it. You can either go down with it or you can grab a hold of the lifeline, Jesus Christ. Two things in every crisis, danger and opportunity. We're in a crisis situation right now in our country. It can either be a dangerous or it can be an opportunity. I'm seeing right now an opportunity for revival like you've never seen before. Nextly, I said there's an ordeal, and that ordeal is changing. It means a suffering of having to change. The Christians right now, all of us are going to have to change. It's going to be an ordeal. Christians will have to change by suffering. There's got to come a repentance and then a reversal. And thirdly, there's a catharsis, a cleansing from old ideas, coming out of the law and going into grace. And then the charisma to receive that empowering life and that ongoing life, and then a resurrection, a life that's reborn individually or collectively. How many of you today, while I was speaking, recognized that all day long you were in a dungeon? Any of you today recognize you were in a dungeon? See, it's not so bad to be in the dungeon. What'd you do while you were in there? Did you praise the Lord? I know that the world is going to be allowed to stink so bad that it will not be able to stand. God is loosing it. The dungeon that I'm speaking about right now is this planet Earth. And here's a scripture for all you people listening on the radio today if you want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before man, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before man shall be denied before the angels of God. And I read that and I thought, oh my God, what a thrill of thrills that'll be. I'm thrilled enough when someone just calls my name, when I'm in a crowd and somebody, and I don't know anybody there, unless, say, I'm in a different city, and say, Paul, Pastor Paul, over here! And I look around, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? Who knows me down here? Wow. Doesn't that make you feel good? But just imagine standing up in heaven and all of a sudden, a voice comes. Paul. Ain't that going to be a charge? God calls you by your name. You'll have a new one, but let's just say it's the same now, just for so you understand. Corey! Ooh. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Next time you get into a dungeon, praise the Lord for the dungeon and in the dungeon. Walk out of that dungeon. Say amen every time a dungeon tries to come around you. How many are hearing this message tonight? How many heard it? My God, hear it. Hey, it psychoanalyzed you tonight. If you don't believe it, it did something with you. I hope to the world, I hope to God it did something to you. Did it do something to you tonight? How many recognize you're in dungeons every day? You been in one today, honey? Yeah, a couple of them. Well, at least you got out of the the dungeon, and you brought it to church here, and probably got out of it all the better being in here. See, I mean, this is a dungeon. We just destroy dungeons in here by praising the Lord. You know what the worst dungeon there is getting into yourself. Oh, God, that's terrible. What a stink. And you look all over, and you say, where it smells. Skunk never smells his own den. I mean, what's stinking? It's our own little self dungeon. How many heard this tonight? Next time you feel that melancholy coming on, the next time you feel that kind of a thing like, oh God, it's all right. It's all right to grieve a little bit, but don't, you know, don't stay there and mark on the walls. Don't make it your home. Don't put curtains over the bars. You know what I mean? Don't throw a TV in there, and don't throw, you know, R-rated movies in there, and don't throw other little things inside this dungeon. Get out of there. Okay, I got to have two quick testimonies. Someone that can relate to the radio audience about their own personal dungeon they were in, and